It's hard to say you don't like food.
Are you talking about me specifically or people
no,
in general?
Like just in general. It's hard to not like Thanksgiving food. Thanksgiving food is meant to be good.
Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Episode 12. Here we are again. Nothing too exciting today. Although, sometimes those are the best episodes when we don't have a plan.
Just the random stuff.
Yeah, because it's just genuine and
go
just
off
flows.
The wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's currently Snowmageddon right now. I guess we can start with that. This is the most amount of snow we've had at one time in a few years now. Because the past few winters have been really mild.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we went from nothing. Like there was no foreplay to winter.
There wasn't even a dusting. No. It was just we got dumped on and it was really cool out hunting.
And
I enjoyed
stopped.
That.
Yeah,
I love hunting.
I wanted to get
with all the
woods.
Snow covering the pine tree limbs and they're drooping down real low, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks cool. Like one of my favorite parts about rifle season.
Yeah. The woods in the winter is
it's a different animal.
It's super cool.
Well, and everything's dead silent, quiet too.
Mm-hmm.
I would also love to, at some point, like, maybe even, I don't know, how long does small game season go? It goes till March, right?
To March, yeah, the end of March.
Yeah, so even after deer season, we should just go out there with, like, 22s or shotguns and just go
shoes.
Squirrel hunt or something. Yeah. It would be
judos.
So much fun.
And then we can get Obi out.
Yeah, for sure.
Judo tip?
And judos.
Or judos, yeah. I'd have to get some cheap arrows for that, because I... Or longbows with judos, I would do that.
Yeah, longbows
with judos. If it was trad arrows with judos.
Yeah, that's super fun. Even just stump shooting, just walking around shooting fucking little
yeah.
stumps and stuff. Like, it's a blast. And then if you see a squirrel or a rabbit, you can...
Yeah, lob one in the general direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've killed a couple squirrels with mine and a rabbit.
With your longbow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a lot better than I am.
Recurve, but yeah. Or a couple squirrels with a longbow and then a rabbit was with a recurve.
Yeah. You're... Cord is hitting the spring there, buddy.
Oh shit.
No, it's been fun, but I also haven't been out a whole lot. It's been tricky. Yesterday I didn't hunt at all. In the morning I went and got the Christmas tree with my parents, my brother, mm-hmm. and then
a real tree.
Yeah, and then we just watched college football all night long, which was crazy. There's some good football on last night.
Was it crazy?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, Michigan, unranked Michigan beat number 2 Ohio State.
No
yeah,
way.
Fucking weird.
Damn.
So Justin hates football and everything sports.
Yeah,
not everything sports. I like some sports.
Okay, buddy. Drag racing is not a sport. It's just drag racing.
It's kind of a sport.
Name one sport that you watch.
I watch jiu-jitsu on TV.
Yeah, come on,
dude. I watch UFC.
That's a different, a traditional sport.
I don't do that.
It's like saying archery is a sport. As much as I want it to be, it's really like, eh.
I feel like it's a sport if you can like win money at it. Or like if you're like...
Hell yeah, pull tabs is a sport.
So, porn stars are pro athletes then? Is that what we're getting at?
They work hard, dude.
They work really hard. Mostly the guys.
Guys, we're... we are 4 minutes, not even 4 minutes into this podcast. We are so far off the deep end.
Yeah.
You took it there.
You did. Start talking about sports.
All right, fair enough. I should have known better with this company, but... Anyway, speaking of sports, one of my favorite sports traditions is the Lions playing on Thanksgiving Day. And the Lions were able to get it done yet again Thanksgiving Day against the Bears. This is something I am going to talk
about. Closer
that
we...
I did watch that.
It's a little bit closer than we like to have it.
Yeah, definitely. But
we pretty much only won because the Bears just royally fucked up.
Well, the other thing, though, is the Lions have been playing so hard, they lost all the main players that they've been running with.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I heard the Bears coach got fired.
He did, and they left his ass in Detroit.
Really?
They didn't even let him fly home on the team jet, apparently.
Goddamn.
Yep.
It's a little spicy.
Well, the Bears have been terrible for years, and that was just the worst example of time management in football history.
Well, like, I was watching, and they why aren't they calling a timeout?
Yeah, they had two timeouts.
I don't know shit about football, and, like, me watching was like, yeah, like, they should probably call a timeout. Like, that would make sense, right? And they just never did, and I was like, okay.
It would have been a little bit more understandable if they had, like, let's say they were tied and they were trying to get within field goal range, and that was like the last play or whatever before they were going to be able to kick the football.
Yeah.
And they just thought that they were going to have more time, but they were losing and they needed that just to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
To not call a timeout with, you know, with like a 2-minute drive.
And they were really close. Like, they were close to.
Yeah, it was just terrible. Terrible time management. So, yeah.
Yeah. If I was that guy, I would have done way better.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have, buddy.
Me too.
Also, in Thanksgiving news, I did eat a ton of food. I don't know about you guys,
but I ate a
bunch
of food.
I ate a bunch. Like, way too much. And I'm still eating. I have leftovers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, boy. I ate pumpkin pie for breakfast this morning.
That is the breakfast of champions.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Should have drank it with a Budweiser, though. Would have been better.
Yeah. Oh.
What do you think, Jared? Budweiser and pumpkin pie for the breakfast?
I don't know about that. Pecan pie.
Pecan pie and a Budweiser?
Yeah, that might be a little better.
You don't drink Budweiser a lot anymore, though.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen Jared drink a Budweiser.
Well, it used to be my favorite beer. I've kind of switched over to Banquets.
Yeah.
Banquets are the shit.
Favorite, I should say, like, favorite cheap beer that comes in a big pack.
Favorite domestic beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Widowmakers, kind of.
Is that what you're drinking right now?
That is what I'm drinking right now.
There you go. So, yeah, let's... Let's do this. Let's go with, you guys already know my favorite side dish for Thanksgiving, which is mashed potatoes.
Oh, okay.
It's super basic.
I didn't know that, but.
Is that really your favorite?
Yeah, they've been making jokes at work about it all week.
I didn't eat mashed potatoes.
Huh? Because it's just a basic, side dish. Or why is it my favorite?
Yeah, why is it your favorite?
Oh, I don't, because I just like them. I don't know. They're just good.
Okay. I mean, I'm not denying they are good, but, you know.
But I will say this. I don't get into green bean casserole, corn casserole, squash, the mashed cauliflower.
I made a green bean casserole. That would change your mind on green bean casserole.
Probably not, buddy. I've had a lot of them.
No, this one's.
I don't know, dude.
It's got bacon in it and, like, onions.
They all have onions.
No, but like there's like real onions. You chop them up, fry them up, like in your bacon grease.
So you made the French onions homemade?
No.
Like the crispy
things? No, he's saying
I put those on top, but there was more onions in it.
Oh.
Lots of onions.
Because like when my mom does green bean casserole, it's like green beans, cream mushroom soup, onions on top. That's it.
That's usually what all of them are.
That's everyone that I've ever had. That's how my mom does it. That's what it is.
And I honestly don't care.
It's good.
It's good.
But like I spiced it. I took it to that next level. And man, it like.
My opinion, you need to have a little more green beans in it.
And cheese. I put cheese in mine.
Because I'm not a huge fan of cream and mushroom. So more green beans. And I love the crunchies. So
yeah,
just a ton of those.
I used a big thing of crunchies. And I used 2 cans of cream and mushroom soup and 4 cans of green beans.
I will say this.
It was heavy on the green beans.
Yeah.
So my parents.
It had cheese mixed into it. And then I had like way too many of those French fried onions.
My parents. My mom. Because my dad doesn't cook. But my mom uses fresh green beans. Usually. I think. I could be wrong. But I can eat canned green beans in general. But especially canned green beans. Dude, I could eat those. I could eat an entire can of green beans.
You like canned over fresh?
Not over fresh, but
I way prefer fresh.
I do too. I like because the little, crunch.
I grew up on canned.
Well, so did I, but I think that's why I like them. They're like salty.
Screw that.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah, buddy.
I'm never going to eat just like canned green beans.
I would eat canned green beans maybe with ranch or just straight out of the can.
Yeah.
I'd okay. fuck them up for sure.
Yeah. Did you guys all do turkey?
Yeah.
Yep.
Turkey. Sometimes my family doesn't do turkey on Thanksgiving.
We've been known to do
ham.
No. Well, there's like 1 year a long time ago, but we've been known to do smoked chicken wings.
Oh.
Whoa.
We've done.
I don't know that I've ever heard of that before.
I haven't.
We've done ribs. I think we did brisket once. Yeah. We tend to change it up a little bit for like, because it depends. Normally my family, like big family Thanksgiving is on the weekend. So the actual day of Thanksgiving, we'll do something different that we were not eating turkey over and over and over again.
Right.
But the big family one, we always have turkey. Well, I think there's usually one that's slow roasted and one that's deep fried.
But. There's a, my family's always done turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't think we've ever done anything other than that. But Christmas and Easter. And we usually do a big one on New Year's as well. Sometimes not. But Christmas is usually where it changes up. Sometimes we do both, though. If we're going to have like a ton of people at the house, sometimes we'll do a turkey and a ham.
For Christmas, I think we normally do turkey and ham both. A ham, yeah. But then we'll also add in like a brisket or a prime rib.
We've started doing like, or the last couple of years, we were doing ham for Thanksgiving and then a prime rib for Christmas.
Yeah, so usually I think we would do, well, when I was growing up, it was always turkey on Thanksgiving, ham for Christmas, and then we would do like a standing rib roast for like Easter or something like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is like prime rib.
Right.
But anymore, it's like, I don't know. I don't really... Personally, I don't really care for ham, which I know is also controversial.
You like turkey over ham?
I do. I really? Much prefer turkey over ham.
A nice honey-baked ham.
Yeah, dude.
It's ham. Too sweet, dog. I can't do it.
That's
the same thing. Like, I don't like sweet barbecue sauce. Like, Sweet Baby Ray's, I fucking hate that shit.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
So you gotta have like a sugar little bit water. Of sweet, but then you also gotta have a ton of spice in there, too.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, yeah, have you ever done, like, the, like, a seasoned Cornish hen?
No.
Yeah.
So, it's like, sometimes with a Cornish hen, you can, it'll be, like, a lot of spices on the outside, but the meat itself is actually, like, a little bit sweeter, like, if it's, like, brined or whatever. And that's fine. If a ham was done that way, I'd be fine with it, but they do, like, the honey glaze on the,
Yeah, there's a couple years where I made ham where it was like, you know, they have the honey glaze and then you put brown sugar all over it and then like it's your disgusting. Pineapple and like it gets too sweet.
No.
But I still like it. Like I like sweet stuff.
I do too, but that's for dessert. I can't like, I don't know. It's just weird. That sweet, that's why I don't like teriyaki. Like teriyaki seasoning on anything. That sweet with meat just is like weird to me. That's just like, ugh.
Interesting.
I'd much rather like it.
So don't you normally get Asian zing when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, I get either medium or hot, like buffalo. I don't get Asian zing. I've done Caribbean jerk before, but Caribbean jerk is still kind of spicy.
That's my number one go-to, Caribbean jerk.
It's still like a little funky to me though. I was with Obi. On install the other week, when we went out of town, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and he got Thai curry.
I haven't had that one.
Disgusting. It smelled so bad. I hate the smell of curry.
It's all hyped up.
Yeah, like, I know. Oh, it's like, gross.
Dude, I hate the smell of curry. So, I don't. Maybe you guys are curry fans. I'm not.
I don't think I've ever actually had
Obi curry. Swears by it. He says that they're delicious.
He also eats seaweed.
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
See, but that's a weird one because I actually kind of
spit it out.
That's a weird one because I actually kind of like seaweed.
Really?
Gross.
Like the super thin.
Yeah.
Like
little crunchy, salty.
Yeah, I'll actually eat seaweed sometimes. I wouldn't eat it all the time, but I don't have a problem with that. I'm a very picky eater, I found out.
Well.
Because I also don't like
so
crab.
So we've got Nick's favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Yeah, what's yours?
What's like dishes? Do you have multiple or just the one?
So like my plate for Thanksgiving would be...
This is a Nick's plate rundown.
Yeah. So I'm going to go turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, deviled eggs, cranberries, but not the gelatin, fresh cranberry, whatever. I don't even know actually all what's
sauce.
In it. Yeah, kind of, but I just kind of like eat it on the side. And then, did I say the dinner roll thing?
Mm-mm.
We usually have dinner rolls and then like regular like homemade white bread, so there's usually like some bread to that. Did I say deviled eggs as well?
Yep.
So deviled eggs, I don't know if you would consider that a side dish, but those are one of my favorite Thanksgiving foods.
So deviled egg is one of my favorite foods, and usually there's like three of them left by the time we actually have dinner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how it goes.
I don't like deviled eggs.
We made, I think my mom made
like 20 of them.
No, I think my mom made 2 dozen deviled eggs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then you cut them in half, so there's 48 total.
Yeah. I can eat a lot.
But there was 13 people for dinner this year, so.
She calls it her secret recipe, but I don't know if she actually does anything too different than a normal deviled egg recipe, but she just makes them really good. So one of the things is we always are like, hey, can we get some of your deviled eggs? And yeah, we didn't get them this year because they canceled the family Christmas. And then
family Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving because of the roads.
Don't be talking about canceling Christmas now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't put that juju in the air, dude.
Yeah, I would say deviled eggs is one of my favorite. And then
if we're counting that as a side dish, it would be deviled eggs over mashed potatoes. Let me just put that out there.
Okay.
But I don't know if we're, I don't know if we want to do that.
What else would it be?
I think deviled eggs is my favorite.
It's like an appetizer.
Yeah, it's like a little appetizer. Okay. It's before you have the main meal.
That checks out.
But my plate, I do turkey, turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, green bean casserole. We usually have like sweet potatoes, but they're like you put brown sugar and pecans on the top.
Yeah, the sweet yams.
Or you do marshmallows and tangerines on the top.
Oh, yeah. That's got a name, and I can't remember what it is.
Mm.
Sweet potato casserole?
That might be it.
Or candy yams?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the ones with the... It's been a long time since I had the marshmallow and tangerine one, but I like the ones with brown sugar and pecan better.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my second favorite.
There's a brown sugar
yeah.
in candy yams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like half 50, a bag, 50, dude. Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are pretty good.
So you're going to go with, like, sweet potatoes / candy yams?
Cranberry sauce. We do the cranberry sauce with the berries in it, not the jelly.
Not the gelatin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my mom usually makes homemade rolls.
Yeah, that's what my grandma does with the dinner rolls.
So. Okay.
But she cooks them in, like, you guys know what monkey bread is?
Yeah.
Like the cake pan?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma will make her homemade rolls.
A bundt pan?
Is that what they're called?
I don't know. I think so.
I think something like that.
But she'll make the homemade rolls, and they'll be like the little, like just, you know, balls of dough or whatever. But when she bakes them, she puts them in that, so they like pull apart, similar to monkey bread.
Mm.
We usually do monkey bread, but it's usually a breakfast thing, not a thing at dinner. That's another one of my favorite foods, I guess.
Yeah, monkey bread's good. That's usually Christmas, though, that we get that.
Oh, you can make... That's one of the things I saw a meme about. It's like, you know, you can make deviled eggs like anytime you want. You don't have to wait for Thanksgiving. It was the same thing for monkey bread. I'm like, dude, I could make this in like 15 minutes on a Tuesday if I wanted to. Like, I don't have to wait.
Then it wouldn't be special.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway.
What's
sorry.
Everyone's... Justin, go ahead. And then I want to go into everyone's least favorite.
So what was your favorite? What did you... With the candy yams?
I would say probably the yams and deviled eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can respect that. I'm personally not a sweet potato guy.
Also pecan pie.
Yeah, well, that's dessert. That's dessert.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Well, we'll get there. Go for it.
My plate's pretty boring.
Let me guess. Ham?
No.
Green bean casserole.
I did turkey, green bean casserole, rolls, and broccoli. So we always have, like, broccoli, and usually we make, like, a cheese sauce to go on it. I don't do the cheese
like
sauce.
Like steamed broccoli or, like, raw broccoli?
I make or it like in the roasted. Oven. I, like, bake it.
So you do it like Brussels sprouts, but it's broccoli.
Kind My of, yeah, aunt okay. used to do a raw broccoli, but it was, like, broccoli salad, and it had cranberries and, like, some vinaigrette sauce on it. I don't know. It was freaking good.
That sounds like it'd be all right.
That does sound good.
That's the thing, like, so...
Oh, and bacon bits.
Let's hear your favorite, and then we'll go into least favorite, and I'll explain to you why I don't like green bean casserole.
My favorite's either... I don't know. It's a toss-up. I really like gravy. So gravy, I put gravy on my turkey.
I put gravy on my turkey, my mashed potatoes, my stuffing.
Yeah, and then you like mop it up with the roll.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
So
yep.
I don't usually do mashed potatoes. I don't know why. I just don't eat a lot of mashed potatoes anymore. But so I think gravy is my number one. And then everything on the plate.
Gravy? Okay.
So all right. Just fair enough. Everything on my plate is a vessel for
bowl of gravy.
Just give me gravy in a soup bowl with a spoon. That's my Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, dude, I love gravy. Like, I love gravy.
Just loves the fucking salt.
Yeah. Like,
spoken like a fat kid that weighs 130 pounds, right?
Yeah. And then, like, broccoli. Like, I like broccoli. But, like, I eat broccoli all year, so it's not really that Thanksgiving.
I'm fine with broccoli, but that's just a weird, like, Thanksgiving pick.
Yeah.
That's like saying you enjoy eating it off of a plate or you enjoy drinking Miller Lite with your, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Like, we don't have a ton of awesome cooks in my family. So, like, our Thanksgiving is very, very basic.
That's right.
So, I went to that, like, Friendsgiving on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And that had a bunch of other stuff. You know, we had, a, like, bruschetta and different snacks, and that's where I made the green bean casserole, and like that was a little more just better food.
It helps. I think I'm a little bit spoiled because I have a lot of really talented cooks in my family, and so I'm just like, dude, what the hell? Like, what do you mean you don't have, you know, that? Oh, you don't like turkey or you don't like mashed potatoes? Because if you only eat mashed potatoes and it's literally just like mashed potatoes, plain, and you don't add anything to it.
Yeah, you got to add a little milk.
You got to add a little milk, a little butter, a little salt and pepper, maybe butter. A little garlic.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That makes sense.
But my favorite.
And that's like turkey. Like, I've never cooked the turkey.
Yeah.
I don't know how my dad makes the turkey usually, but.
Is it bland?
It's not great. Like, we can not cook a good turkey.
Does he baste it a lot and just, like,
no.
keep... Oh, dude, you have to.
I'm pretty sure it's just, like, so maybe season the outside and says stick it in the oven.
My mom, you gotta put your hand underneath the skin, and there's a whole process.
Well, that's what, like, I was talking to Scott on the phone, and, like, he was... he made the turkey, and, like, I got his, like, directions on it.
What's that type of
butter?
I was
like, dude, we don't do any of that shit.
Compound butter.
I love compound
they
butter.
You take compound butter because it's got, like, the rosemary and the salt and shit in it or
you
whatever.
You can make whatever you want. But
so there's a special type of compound butter that my mom uses, and you get under the skin of the turkey and spread it all around. And then there's a certain way to – they put, like, some stuff on the outside, and then on the inside of the turkey – we make our stuffing in a pan, too, I should say that. We don't stuff the turkey.
Yeah. I don't like that.
That's weird.
You don't like that? I like it sometimes. I don't eat stuffing a ton, but
so we make our stuffing in a pan.
I do like the turkey stuffing.
But the inside of the turkey, we put like celery and I think carrots. There might be some other stuff in there, whatever.
Onion or something.
Lemon.
Onion. Maybe lemon. Maybe some lemon, yeah. But then as it's cooking, it's in like a big, we have like a big, you know, like turkey pan.
Yeah, and a roaster.
Yeah, and you use the turkey baster to constantly like, you know, get...
So I'm gonna try to pitch it to my family that I'm gonna cook the turkey next year, and see how that goes.
My mom
sounds like you couldn't do much worse.
No, all that stuff that you just said, Nick.
Shout out to my parents.
We kind of did similar to that, cooks. But then my mom also brined it beforehand for like a day or something. Did a brine?
That's brine a lot, like marinate it or brine like inject it?
Like
brine it like
sitting in a tub, brine.
So what would be the difference between that and a marinade?
A brine is like
brine
salt-based.
Is not going to like give it a ton
That's
of
to
flavor.
Make it crispy?
It's to make it tender and like juicy.
Oh, interesting. I don't know what my mom does. I know she will let it sit to defrost. She doesn't like, she lets it defrost like naturally, so to speak, I guess, because it'll move from like whatever. She'll buy it a couple days before Thanksgiving, and then it'll sit in the garage, and then it'll eventually move to the fridge, like usually day of. And that way it's at like, you know, 40 degrees or whatever. So it's not frozen, but it's not, it's slowly brought up to temp. So yeah. I think that, but I don't know. I've never actually been involved with like the actual cooking of the turkey. I've just watched them do it.
We should all cook the turkeys next year.
I'm good.
If I cook the turkey for Thanksgiving, my mom will be right over my shoulder. Because none of my family is going to trust me to cook the turkey.
Like Ratatouille?
Yeah, literally. It would not end well if I did it myself and had to like figure it out. But we don't deep fry it, so at least I wouldn't burn the house down. It'd probably just be really dry and not very tasteful. Or it'd be way too salty. That's something I am really bad about. Sometimes I over-season meat.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to do.
Yeah, especially on a steak or something.
Nick, did we get your least favorite?
No. My least favorite, I don't know.
It's hard to say you don't like food.
Are you talking about me specifically or people in general?
No, like just in general. It's hard to not like Thanksgiving food. Thanksgiving food is meant to be good.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of stuff that everyone hates.
Well, I'm not a fan personally of the sweet potatoes. Like the candy yams, but I don't like sweet potatoes in general. I don't know why. Just preference, whatever.
I will say I don't like sweet potatoes. It's the candy yams specifically. It's basically a dessert.
Right? Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I mean, you take anything and put a fuck ton of sugar on it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And it turns into something.
I would say personally, my least favorite is probably the corn casserole that my grandmother makes, which my siblings would probably fucking hate. But the corn casserole, to my knowledge, is literally just like cream of mushroom with corn instead of green beans.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that.
I couldn't tell you what's in it. I don't like it, mostly because of the texture thing. That and my mom will do mashed cauliflower for people who don't want mashed potatoes.
That also sounds very gross.
I hate mashed cauliflower.
I think that'd be good.
Fuck you and your fucking keto bullshit.
I don't do that.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, you're gross.
I'm with you, Nick. I think...
But most like... If you think of like stereotypical Thanksgiving food, so to speak, like turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, the... even like some of the green bean casserole, like I'll eat it. It's just not my favorite. It's just kind of like...
What about beets?
So we've beets had like a, or beans?
Beets.
We've had those. We've had Brussels sprouts and then like a mac and cheese bake.
Yeah. So my mom does Brussels sprouts different than other people. And I've had Brussels sprouts a lot of different ways, but they're basically just mini cabbages. And I don't like cabbage. So I don't like Brussels sprouts.
False. That's not true.
I don't think they're mini cabbages.
That's
at
not
all.
True.
I
don't mind cabbage soup or like pigs in a blanket or not pigs in a blanket, but cabbage rolls or, you know, a lot of stuff with cabbage I don't mind. Brussels sprouts I hate. I've had it a ton of different ways. I do not like it.
See, I'm the same way though. That's my least favorite Thanksgiving food. There's certain things with cabbage that I'm okay with. But
they don't even taste like cabbage though. They're
because you cook them in a lot of vinegar and
they're nuttier.
I think they taste like hopped up broccoli. It's like you took the flavor of broccoli and just turned it all the way up.
They're gross.
I like them sometimes. If they're all mushy and like
mac and
I don't
cheese
like that.
Is a good one, but we had mac and cheese the day before. We had mac and cheese Wednesday, as part of dinner Wednesday. Just whatever, because it depends on like who's coming and what they want to bring to a dish. Like my uncle made beans this year, which isn't. I don't think
potatoes
like
a, as well.
Done what?
I don't know what that is.
Scallop potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the...
we just call them funeral potatoes because you see them at every funeral.
Like yeah, that's kind of messed up.
That's... But I mean...
Yeah. No, that's fair.
It's like Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah. It's like the... When you should call it the graduation party tacos, the walking tacos.
Yeah, right.
It's just every fucking Sloppy Joe's and
birthday tacos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but my uncle made baked beans this year, which isn't like a traditional Thanksgiving dish, I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think so either.
We've had that before.
But they're, really? You know, it's like, there's just different things. It's a feast.
But it's not like Bush's baked like, beans. It's like cowboy no, beans.
Right. No, my uncle does it. He does it with bacon, and there's some, it's some special fucking
yeah,
recipe.
That there's he, bacon and burger and
yeah, ground beef.
Pickle
he puts
slices
ground beef in
and
there.
Use all sorts of different beans.
But again, I don't like baked beans sometimes because they're super sweet.
So if like you a have sweet version of chili,
if you have a right? spicy, if you have a spicy baked beans, more like chili, which I do really like, I'm totally fine with that. But a super sweet, like people who put like brown sugar in their baked beans, I can't do it. It's way too sweet.
Really,
not a fan. What's your least favorite, Jared?
100% the Brussels sprouts.
Okay, I could die at, or yeah, I could
I'll die on that hill.
I'll stand there with you, buddy. I don't like Brussels sprouts either.
And they tend to come out around Thanksgiving. As far as like this year, though.
They're
like
fucking gross, Justin. Don't give me that look.
Traditional food at Thanksgiving. Oh, man. There's really not a ton that are bad. I'd probably go with the dinner roll. Just because like it's great to mop everything up with at the end.
But
that's,
it's bland.
That's really the only thing I use it for is to mop everything up at the end.
Yeah, but it's so great. You get a dinner roll soaked in gravy. Ugh.
Gravy and butter. We make our own every year for Thanksgiving. We make our own butter.
Well, it's either that or I'm going to say mashed potatoes, and mashed potatoes is better with gravy than a dinner roll.
That's fair. Some people can do dinner rolls wrong, though. If you have like a really dry dinner roll,
oh yeah,
not good.
No.
Mine
you got to have a little bit of moisture in there.
My mom knows what she's doing.
I feel like, I don't know, did your mom cook something for that potluck? Because we did a work potluck one time.
A couple times.
When she was working there, and it was...
Yeah.
I feel like we've got something.
I don't remember what she made, but...
It was the first time I had duck, was that one of those potlucks?
Yeah.
It was okay.
That was the first time I, like, cooked for a whole group of people. Like, I made one of the main dishes for the potluck.
What did you make?
It was like a chicken thing or something.
Oh, they like that. Yeah, you made like a chicken chili or something like that.
It wasn't like a chili, but it was like a
shredded chicken.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then I almost dropped my crock pot in the parking lot.
Nice. Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, dude. I was going to put it in my truck and I like fucking slipped and it like I caught it one-handed and like it was a shit show.
Well, it's always, you know, the middle of fucking winter when we do those, so.
Yeah.
I always had an easy way out. Like one year I brought the drinks, and I think the second year I brought like all the plates and shit, which both are like important, you know, but I was like, I don't have to cook anything.
I'm doing my part.
No, and actually that's not true. One year I brought drinks
what
and plates.
Keegan bring?
Keegan brought dessert one year.
Okay. I don't remember.
But it was the same thing because I did dessert one time too, and it was.
Good job, Keegan.
I just brought shit from the store. You know what I mean? Right. That's what most guys do.
Mm-hmm.
I could see if you were, like, invested in it. But the thing of it is, like, you guys wouldn't want me to, like, bake a pie or something like that. It's not going to turn out great. I could have my mom bake a pie.
It'd be entertaining.
And you'd love it. Oh, dude, I could have my mom bake a pie and everybody would be like, you should have brought three of those. But if I did it myself, you'd be like, what the fuck is that? So speaking of pie... What is your favorite?
Well, did we get Justin's least favorite food?
Oh, no, we didn't.
My least favorite?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would say it's either beets. I just don't fuck with beets. Or that'd probably be it. That's really the only thing I
people
like,
try to
hate.
Say they're pickled, but they're not.
Pickled beets?
Yeah. But they don't taste like pickled. Like, you can't even taste the vinegar. All you taste is beet.
Jared, we're going to get some pickled eggs that you think are good, and I'll try them.
Okay.
And I'll tell you if they're actually good.
Let's go up to Houghton.
No, no. Can we do it here so we don't have to drive fucking 7 hours?
It's 6 from here, but
whatever. Is there a way we could do it here?
I have not found super great pickled eggs around here.
Guess we got to go on a boys trip.
There was
up to Houghton to get some pickled eggs.
And to get blackout.
Yeah.
You're driving party. Anyway, so.
I am?
Yeah.
Actually, we should make Obi drive. He's got a fancy truck.
No, but we already talked seats. About this. If he brings Alyssa, you know what I'm saying?
What?
If he brings Alyssa, then we can't all fit there.
Why not? There's three in the back, three in the back. Front.
Yeah, that's true. You guys are skinny. We'd be fine.
Yeah. Put you in the middle, Justin and I on the sides.
Yeah.
Justin and I will fly right through the seats. So, you know, you at least get your shoulders on the seats. Justin and I got the, Justin, I got the seats to stop us.
All right.
Obi wouldn't crash either. He's a good driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a... He could be a timid driver, I feel like. I don't know. I've only ridden with him in his own vehicle one time, though.
Yeah, me too.
So it's kind of hard to judge somebody's driving if they're driving, like, a company vehicle. Because I drive a company vehicle vastly different than I drive my own vehicle. I really? Beat the shit out of my own vehicle, and I try to, you I'd know, respect the company vehicle.
Somewhat similar.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, buddy. Yeah. I got to drive them every day, so I try to, like, understand that, like, hey, this is something that I need to do my job versus my own truck. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. If I break it, it's mine.
When I worked at Coppers, they would always joke. They'd be like, you don't get new work trucks unless you need new work trucks, so beat them up.
There you go.
I'm not kidding you. They had it was a 2019 Dodge Ram. Looked like it had 500,000 miles on it, and it had 30,000 miles on it.
It was just dented in and rusted.
Oh, it was
and
beat to fuck. Inside and out. And it
they let
it
people
had,
smoke in them?
It had trouble running, too.
Well, it was a fucking Dodge, so.
Yeah. No, I don't think you use smoke in them, but.
Well, chemical plant, or I guess not a chemical plant, but deal with a lot of chemicals.
So. It was a chemical plant. That's what it was. It was a chemical plant, but they had a designated smoking area.
There you go.
All the operators go out there and smoke their two packs a day.
Oh, God damn, dude.
Man, see that with three cans of chew a day.
It's like when you start working in a factory, you just have to pick your nicotine source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
well, like that's all they do is sit in a chair.
Do I want cigarettes? Dip.
They sit in a chair behind like eight monitors all day.
That's true.
Watching, clicking on a automated valve on the screen. Yeah, open that one for tank 208.
All right, let's talk pies or dessert. I guess it doesn't have to be a pie. But I think pie is pretty universal for Thanksgiving.
I already let mine slip, pecan.
I'm a pumpkin pie guy.
Okay.
Either that or cherry or like a berry pie.
We're right on the same page.
Yeah.
I love pumpkin pie because it's nostalgic and it's traditional for Thanksgiving, but I will fuck up a cherry pie, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And pecan's all right, but I got to be in the mood for pecan pie because it's also one of those things that's very sweet. So
it is.
I think that might be a theme here is that if it's too sweet, like I can't do stuff with too much sugar in it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But pecan pie is good. So if you do a pumpkin pie, homemade or store-bought,
I don't have a preference, really.
Homemade. So I will jump in here because scratch, pumpkin's my second favorite.
From scratch pie crust?
My mom cheats with the pie crust.
Well, then it's not really homemade. Or does she make her own pumpkin filling?
Yeah, I think that might be pre-made, too.
So you just lay the crust in a pan, pour a can in, throw it in the oven?
I think she does a little more. She adds some stuff into the filling. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's fair.
She makes it with love, Nick.
Well, my grandparents go all out. So my
homemade crust and homemade filling.
Yeah, my grandmother.
Like they buy a pumpkin?
No.
Well, it's not really homemade then, is it?
What the fuck, Nick?
Did they grow the wheat for the crust?
Because what most people do is use pumpkin pie filling. And
yeah,
so,
use the filling and the Pillsbury crusts.
Yeah. So my grandmother, she will make
the Marie
crust.
Callender.
Yeah, she'll make the crust from scratch. Just like make the dough, whatever, in the mixer. And then you can get like plain pumpkin puree which is what you give to your, like, your dog if it has, like, stomach issues or whatever.
Yeah, that's what my mom uses.
Yeah, okay. So you get, like, the plain pumpkin puree, and then you add the sugar.
So you're a cheater. That's not
pumpkin
homemade.
Spice to it. Huh?
That's not homemade. You got to buy a pumpkin and, like, puree it.
First of all, I'm not doing it. My point is, if you were to buy pumpkin pie filling and pre-made crust, and you just slap the two bitches together and throw it in the oven, and you're like, I made a pie from scratch, or it's a homemade pie, I'd be like, not really.
You could still fuck that up.
You could overcook it or something.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie is probably the easiest one to cook.
Yeah.
Because you just stick a knife in the middle, and if it comes out clean, your pie's done.
Like a brownie.
Right. Yeah. Easy.
Dude, it's still snowing out there.
Yeah, it's going to be snowing for a while. Mm-hmm. I told you, we're supposed to get like up to a foot of snow in the next 24 hours through tomorrow. Like,
I don't think
crazy.
It's a foot.
Yeah, it was 6 to 11 inches or something like that. We're, yeah. No.
What?
Anyway.
Off podcast commentary.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to. That'll be on the Patreon next week. No, I'm just kidding. Knox of Nature Raw.
Yeah.
We're off.
Let us know if you guys want one.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
Just some off-the-wall shit.
Just off-the-wall shit. We'll do a drunk episode or something.
Are these not?
Isn't that most episodes?
I don't know. Are you guys drunk?
No.
You've had a drink.
Not today.
Yeah. You're fine. He's all right. So, yeah. Did we talk? So, last episode, we didn't talk about the new bows, did we? We talked about the fact that they were released.
Yep.
But I hadn't shot them yet.
I think you were going the next day or shortly after that. You were going to go look at them.
Yeah. So, I went to our local archery pro shop. Shout out Gothier's Archery. And went and shot all three of the new Matthews bows, plus all four of the new Hoyt bows. So both are aluminum bows and both are carbon bows.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something, I think I talked about this last episode as well, but it was exactly what I expected. The Hoyt bows felt very smooth. The aluminum bows, I don't like the carbon because there's too much hand shock. Yeah. That's just personal preference. Some guys need the carbon because they want a warmer riser in colder temperatures. They want a lighter weight bow. Okay. The aluminum bows from Matthews and the carbon bows from Hoyt weigh exactly the same. In fact, the Lift RS is actually lighter than Hoyt's carbon bow.
Yeah, I was surprised at that when I started looking up at the specs.
Yeah.
Like, the carbon bows aren't that much lighter. And so, they're like double the price.
Yeah, so to me, carbon bow is obsolete now. If you're that close or even lighter than a carbon bow,
right?
To me, that doesn't matter because I don't care for the hand shock. The only advantage is that your bow's carbon, you know, ooh, fancy, and the riser doesn't get cold if you're constantly hunting in cold temperatures. But a lot of times we're wearing gloves until we take the shot. You're not hanging out of that bow all day long.
Right.
At least for me.
Yeah.
But I did like the draw cycle on the Hoyt. Is this a new cam that they put on there?
Mm.
And I did like the draw cycle. It was much more similar to what I'm used to, which is the Matthews bows. But the Matthews bows felt the best, I think, because I've been shooting though like that cam system on my Traverse, or a very similar cam system, for so long. That draw cycle just feels like normal to me.
Right. That's the
so it's going to feel the best. But I'm very excited. I think I am going to build a new Lift RS. And if I didn't talk about it last episode, it'll be because the Lift RS maxes out at a 29-inch draw, which is my draw length, and 80 pounds, which I know I can pull 80 pounds.
You're going to get an 80-pound bow?
Yeah, so I shot the...
God damn.
I shot the Hoyt RX-9 at 80 pounds and 28 and a half inches, or maybe it's 28, whatever. Pretty similar to what I would buy the Lift RS at from Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the Hoyt. The draw cycle was smooth. Even at 80 pounds, it was super manageable because it's 85% let off. You know, it's super easy.
Right.
But the hand shock, there's just a little bit too much vibration out of the carbon bow for me personally. So it really just came down to personal preference, you know, because two bows are set up pretty much the same. But that Lift RS is 27 3/4 inches axle to axle. That's the shortest axle to axle bow I've ever shot.
That's crazy.
Because, well, other than the V327 from Matthews, which was from 2020, I think. But
isn't the string angle just like crazy though?
That's why it stops at 29 inches is the max draw length. Cause yeah, that's, you're going to have a ton of knock pinch,
right?
Which I'm building the bow myself. I'm just going to buy it and build it at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I can negate that based on how I build it. But yeah, if you're going to buy one yourself, make sure you go to a reputable bow technician. Cause most of those guys aren't going to know how to set that up. You'll be shooting, you know, an Easton 6.5, and you'll have whatever. I think they've got the H-knock in those or something like that. And by the time that D-loop sets, you know, you'll be pinching that knock.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you just take a little bit of serving and just tie a couple of, just put a couple of wraps right above your knock point and right below your knock point. That way that D-loop can only close down so much.
Oh, so it's pinching on those instead of...
It'll pinch on those instead of your knock, yeah.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. It works pretty well. Sometimes you can get away with just doing it on the top, which is how I normally set it up, but on the Lift, because it'll be such high knock pinch, I'll probably do it above and below.
Mm-hmm.
Just set it up that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be 27 3/4 inches axle to axle, 29-inch draw length, 80 pounds. Probably start at 85% let off. Maybe go down to 80 or 75 if I want to. I'm trying to get like 310, 315 feet per second out of it.
Ooh.
That's quick.
That's fast.
But compared to my Creed right now, which is at like 265. So a huge difference and really going to be able to allow me to stretch the distance and get out there a ways, whatever. But I don't have, I know like accessory wise what I'm going to go with. I was going to go with the new QAD rest, the Integrate one, just because I was like, oh yeah, you know, the QAD, whatever. But I've talked to now 4 different bow technicians from 2 different from 2 different pro shops, and they've all told me that they're like, dude, those rests are really cool until they're not. And we've been getting a lot of them that are coming back for warranty because they're faulty.
Really?
They're breaking a lot. Yeah. So I think... Huh. But I like cable-driven rests, which is why I wanted to go with that.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go with a limb-driven rest because it's less complicated. It's just a simpler design.
Right.
So I'm thinking I'm going to go with the Hamsky Epsilon
mm-hmm.
limb-driven rest, which is very similar to what you have because you have the Trinity.
Yeah.
So it's very similar to that. It's just like the newer mounting style. Because that one's also, you can get it like integrated so it mounts on the dovetail and not through the burger button.
Right.
Streamlined. And then I'm going to go with the Low Pro detachable quiver from Matthews because we've actually did compare this. At least the bow that we set up, which was a Lift from last year, so not the newest Lift, but on the Lift from last year compared to a tight spot compared to the Matthews detachable Low Pro quiver, you could actually get that Matthews Low Pro quiver sitting tighter to the bow than you could get the tight spot.
Wow.
It was just a little bit closer because the tight spot has that like that offset mounting bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So it bumps out a ways. And because of the dual arms and it mounts like behind your sight bracket technically.
Yeah.
That one bracket will hit your rest. But on the Low Pro quiver, they get around that because there's only one bar that connects the top to the bottom, and it's in front of all that.
Hmm.
So they can slam it
closer.
Yeah. A little tricky. Yeah. But both of those are super, super tight. I'll probably go with the Matthews one because it's the same price as a very similar price to a tight spot, and it'll match the bow. So,
right,
you know, I'll be a fucking Matthews fanboy. I have absolutely no idea what I'm gonna do for a sight though. I love the UltraView stuff, but I've been hearing so much. Like, I've got just the UltraView scope. I run an Excel sight because Excel's, you know, tried and true. That's what I've been running for 7 years now,
right,
on my 3D bow. And, you know, I like that bow. I know a couple of guys with spot hogs that, you know, you shoot a spot hog, I think, right?
Yeah. I like mine.
You know, Ryan shoots a black gold. I don't like that sight, but one of the sights that's also similar to a spot hog and a black gold is the HHA Tetra.
Mm-hmm.
Been thinking about that sight.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of guys like those.
So I might just shoot one of those sights or an Excel Landslide maybe and just run an UltraView scope because I like the UltraView scope. But I was going to go with potentially the UltraView slider, like their own slider.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also just came out with one that is made for Matthews for the Lift X or the Lift RS, like, you know, the newer lifts. Right. But I've heard it's like really, well, I looked at it and, you know, I'm just like handling it, like whatever, playing with it a little bit. I didn't really shoot it. I didn't try to move any of the pins. I just like rolled the slider up and down and looked at the construction, and it's polymer. You know, plastic, whatever. It's not aluminum. But the weirdest thing to me was it looked like they just took like a $60 TrueGlow sight. You know the ones I'm talking about.
Yep.
What I've got on my hunting bow, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Even a simpler version of that. They took that bracket, essentially, and put it on a UV slider. And so then you just make one of those pins your slider. That's basically what they did, and it's a fucking $700 site. So it's like, I don't know. If anyone has any suggestions on archery sites, and if you have dealt with any of them, whatever, feel free to shoot us a DM and let us know what you recommend for archery sites. Because I don't know, shot in the dark. What'll probably end up happening is I'll end up buying like three of them before I decide which one I like, and I'll end up just, I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, if I had a gun to my head, I would just buy an Excel Landslide and then put the UltraView scope on there because I know that that's what works.
Right. It's not a bad way to go.
No, but I'd try and, that's a very bulky setup, and the whole point of this bow is to be as streamlined as possible.
Yeah.
So.
I know Spot Hog has their new, like, I don't know if it's a lightweight. I think it's lighter weight. Than like the, because I have the Fast Eddie, and I thought about going with like a Fast Eddie XL or something to.
That's just the scope size, though, right?
No, the arm. So it's.
Oh, it's got a longer dovetail on it.
Yeah.
No.
Oh shit.
See, I mean, so that's a little bit different because I could buy, like, for instance, I shoot an XL AccuTouch Carbon Pro, but I shoot a 9-inch. Carbon, you know, AccuTouch Carbon Pro, and I could also get a 4-inch bracket, or I think it's a 3.5-inch bracket, and I could just swap that right out. I don't have to buy like a whole new sight. They make like different size dovetails for it, so that part's a little bit different.
Right.
The bitch of the UV slider, I'd actually have to look. I think you can on the website buy it, but most of the places that sell it, they sell it with a straight arm. And so if I go with the Matthews, or if I went with the Hoyt that has the Picatinny rail in the front,
mm-hmm.
you have to buy the sight, and then you have to buy a different arm bracket for it.
To mount it on.
Yeah, because most of the pro shops just sell the standard one. So that part's kind of, you know, fucking stupid. It's like,
yeah.
At that point, I'll just order the right one, you know, so I don't have to buy two sights, essentially. Because, of course, you know, they want fucking $250 for some bracket, like, it's just whatever. So I don't know.
It's expensive fast.
Yeah, dude, I've thought a lot about the HHA Tetra because it's a Fast Eddie, but it's super streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I don't like about mine, is it's kind of bulky and
it sticks out.
Yeah.
To the side, to the right, because you're a right hand shooter. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that HHA Tetra, they have like an X or the Deluxe or something like that, and it's got a little magnifier where the wheel is for your yardage, so you can get, you don't have to get super close to it. It'll like magnify that to where you can see it easier.
Oh yeah.
And then the wheel is smaller. So I'd probably go with something like that if I could get that with a 3-pin hunting cartridge and just use like my top pin as a slider. Mm-hmm. And just ch-ch-ch-ch. So I don't know, but I'm excited for it. I mean, it should be really cool. And I've got the good part is I've already got a lot of the stuff that I'm going to put on it. It's like, I just shoot like a Raptor peep sight. So I've already got like a peep sight for it. I've got another nose button I'm going to put on it. I've got a release that I'm going to, like, I've already got all that shit. I've got arrows. I'll probably refletch them, but like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's maybe $30 in that. I've already got like a few things. I've got stabilizer brackets. I think I'm going to switch up my stabilizer lengths because that bow's going to be shorter. So I'm going to play with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then add a couple of weights, whatever. The big thing is I have a rest that I could use from Hamsky. It's not the Epsilon. It's a Target hybrid. So it's a blade, but they make a separate bracket. I could put like basically the Trinity bracket on it. Mm-hmm. Or the fork. So, I don't know. I could use that. But I'll probably just buy the Epsilon so that it's, you know, it's on the bow. Don't have to fuck with it. But also, Jared, I have a spare older style QAD, the simpler ones, that have been pretty reliable. If you want to put a drop away on your bow, we can do that.
Yeah.
It's just lying around.
Honestly, I kind of want to just save up some money and get a new bow. I know that craze is a decent bow. Like, it'll kill a deer, mm-hmm. but it'd be nice to upgrade.
Well, if you do that and you want to save some money on a rest, let me know. Maybe I'll throw that QAD on the new bow. I don't know.
I also have a QAD drop away. It's an older one, but
this is just the works this okay. is the mo- this is the Hunter edition. So it's like a $70 rest.
Oh,
instead
mine's
of
not a QAD. Mine's a Ripcord.
Ripcord, how old is it?
I don't know.
Is it the... Okay.
2010.
That still might not be... Because I have a Ripcord Ace that I bought in 2013, which is the Ripcord. Then back in the day, they had one called the Code Red, but the whole mechanism for where the Ripcord, you know, that's where the paracord goes into it,
mm-hmm.
is internal. And so the Ripcord Ace was as reliable as the Code Red, but it was on the outside, and it had the inertia technology so that the rest can tell the difference versus when you let down compared to when you shoot. So you can let down and the rest won't come down, which is another reason I don't like limb-driven rests, because it'll always come down,
right.
You know, the arrow. But like on my bow, I could draw back, that rest would pop up, and I can let down, that rest is going to stay up, but I shoot and it fires.
Hmm.
So the Ripcord Ace is a very good rest, but the Ripcord Lock, which is the newer one, which is the one that I have on my Traverse, is fucking... Actually, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put that QAD on the Traverse. Or put an Epsilon on the...
Are you going to shoot Traverse. 3D with us this year, Jared?
I'd like to.
I'm excited for 3D this year.
I got a lot of tinkering to do, so...
I do, too. I want to change my arrow setup and a whole bunch of shit.
I'm going to change my 3D setup and... my hunting setup hopefully this year. But that's the part I'm excited for, is like I've already got some stuff. I don't have to start completely from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like originally when I first looked at buying a new hunting bow, it was like $4,200. I'm going to be barely over $3,000 into this bow build, you know, and the bow itself is $1,500. I'm like, hell yeah, dude. You know what I mean? The quiver is one of the most expensive accessories. It's $250 just because it says Matthews on the side of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in due time, but I am excited for that. It should be really cool. And they've got what is it called? It's called Slate. It's like a gunship gray.
Oh yeah.
Dude, it's fucking badass looking. It is cool. And it's not black or fucking, white, I guess, you know, I mean, I've got a white bow. You don't see a ton of people with a white bow.
Yeah.
Green was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
everybody and their mother that is shooting 3D now with the newer Matthews hunting bows is shooting black or fucking green. Now it'll be that slate color everybody will have.
I want to get a 3D bow set up and like take the riser apart and paint it.
Like, honestly, what you should do
off the wall.
What you should do, bro, is you should look at getting a lighter weight or shorter axle to axle hunting setup mm-hmm. and using that prime for 3D.
Yeah.
Because that prime is a great setup mm-hmm. for a 3D build. 33 inches axle to axle. It's heavy, which sucks for like in the woods and everything. But that fucker holds so well on target. That would be a great 3D setup.
Yeah.
You just get something lighter weight.
Mm-hmm.
Prime's coming out with a carbon bow. Has it released yet, actually?
No.
Did you see the leak?
I saw the leak. Yeah, it looks interesting. I don't know how to feel about it.
When does it releases the 19th, right?
I don't remember.
No, I don't actually remember. Watch it. It releases like tomorrow or something. Would you buy it, you think?
I don't know.
This is purely hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetically, maybe. But I don't know. I would have to check it out.
It releases the 10th.
Hmm.
The tagline is carbon without compromise. Interesting. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like it had like some.
It looked like
rods
it was,
or something. Yeah. Like it looked funky.
It looked like it was
just different.
Can you see if you can find it? If you know what page it was posted on,
I'm gonna look it up.
If I can just find it online. But it looked like it was a tight spot quiver was like part of the riser. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because it has like those two rods on either side.
Oh yeah.
It's just weird.
Right. It looked different.
This is why we need a Jamie. Jamie, look up the Prime Bows 2025 leak.
It would be nice. Yeah, I got it. Oh, I gotta log in.
Oh, that's right. It was Archery Talk.
I found it on Rock Slide too. Oh, I found like a schematic. Hell?
Oh.
Look at that.
Whoa. See, but that's like...
That's pretty weird, eh?
So what are they talking about compromise? They're talking about the limb pocket being compromised?
Well, I'm guessing it's that top part.
Yeah, up by the limb pocket.
The limb pocket, I'm guessing that's all aluminum.
Yeah.
And then you have those carbon rods, maybe an aluminum handle, and then... So it's probably like a hybrid.
What would the advantage of that be? Because you don't get the warmth of the carbon in the handle.
Well, Prime has they have that grip or whatever it is. They have like a plastic or there's some like NASA technology or whatever. You know what I mean? Grip?
Yeah,
everyone's like, oh, it's fucking NASA.
Yeah.
So their new boats have that grip that doesn't get cold. But I'm assuming it's for vibration.
Then they would want an aluminum bow.
Well, carbon can do, like if it's a carbon, like wrapped, like my stabilizers are titanium wrapped in carbon. And that's supposed to be.
Like, it's supposed to be better at vibration mm-hmm. dampening?
Yep.
Than just straight titanium?
Yep. I'm not a scientist, I don't know, but.
What do you think would dampen vibration better? Steel or aluminum? Honestly,
I don't know.
That might make sense because
probably aluminum.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, the softer material might dampen vibration better for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're not going to want that was the talk for the rubber. You know, like people used to shoot like the right. LimeSaver HDS coil mm-hmm. or whatever. But I don't know how carbon fiber would compare to you know, aluminum or titanium for stabilizers. Because you don't see a lot of, you see aluminum, like the Matthews Bridgelock stabilizers are aluminum. You know, your, the tap stabilizers are titanium.
Yeah, they're titanium wrapped in carbon.
Right.
And like he's done a bunch of testing. And obviously, like
mine are all carbon except for the ends.
Yeah. So like when I bought stabilizers, like I, that tap guy was on a podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like an engineer or something. And he had all this testing and
they're all
stuff.
Fucking engineers.
I know. And it was like, it convinced me. So I was like, okay. But he's got a bunch of stuff on his website about how it's better and why it's better and la-di-da-di-da. But.
Well, I mean, I would hope. I think that stabilizers are the one thing that we haven't seen a ton of innovation in.
Yeah.
You know, at first it was the, it was quivers. Tight Spot was the only company making a streamlined quiver. Everybody else like didn't care because no one was hunting with their quivers on. Everyone was taking them off. And then there was more and more guys shooting with their quivers on, you know. And that's the other thing. I, even with the new bow, even with a super low profile quiver, I'm not going to hunt with the quiver on. I always take it off.
Oh, really?
Every time. If I'm in a tree stand, yeah. On a spot and stalk, probably not, but in a tree stand,
I always keep mine on.
Why?
I don't know. I don't run a bow hanger or anything. I just put a bow on my lap.
Well, you're sitting down. If you're in a saddle, you'd hang it up.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. So, I'm trying to find this this Prime Bow leak. It's going to be so much easier when they just release it.
Yeah,
we do have one more podcast before Christmas. So.
It'll be interesting to see because I feel like it's going to make some waves because it's just so different. Like something's going to happen.
Well, I'm excited because I would hope that Matthews releases a carbon bow. I'd be interested to see what they would do.
Right.
Because Bowtech came out with a carbon bow, you know, a couple of years ago. Their carbon one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, what is this called? Oh, that was the other thing on the 2025 Matthews, the Lift RS. It also has that limb shift technology. And so it's got like a, literally like a jack screw, I guess would be.
Yeah, we talked about
that
last time.
The right term for it, yeah. And it just moves it over.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff, dude. Especially, like, you don't have, every year we're like, well, how much can these bows really improve? You know what I mean?
I feel like there's big jumps, like, every 10 years.
Yeah, but there's big jumps year to year. Like, that limb shift technology compared to top hat tuning last year from Matthews, like, what the fuck? Why didn't they come out with that technology 10 years ago?
Right, but they've had that top hat technology for what?
Since 2019, so, or 2018, maybe? Somewhere in there.
So you're getting, you know.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking close whatever, six, seven years. Yeah. But.
So even like 5 years, you know, 5 years, you have a big jump. Another five years, you're.
Well, and that's the other thing. My hunting bow's from 2013. You know what I mean? So for me to buy a new bow from 2025, it's like, yeah, if I'm buying a new bow, you know, every 10 to 12 years, I feel like
that's pretty
normal. Mm-hmm. Like. You know,
if you're buying a brand new bow every year, it just seems silly to me.
Well, so let's talk about that. I got two things. Number one, I think it's weird that people might think it's weird because I just, like my family members, because I just bought a new bow back in like 2020, but that was my 3D bow. Right. And it was a designated 3D bow. So this is a hunting bow. I'll shoot some 3D events with it, but that'll, whatever. I think when it comes to buying a new bow every single year, you have to ask yourself, you know, why are you buying a new bow every year? So for the guy who, like my brother, for example, or even Jared, and this is no offense to you, this is just like historically what has happened, where they are going to go buy a bow, go get it all set up with whatever accessories they want, right? The best of the best. My brother's got a Matthews Vertix, and it's got Wicked Stick stabilizers on it, which were the shit, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, a few years ago. He's got a sweet setup. He's got an IQ Retina Lock Pro 3-pin with the slider. That's before UltraView even existed. My brother's got a sweet hunting setup. Mm-hmm. But he got that bow. He got it all set up. He got it sighted in. And he hunts with it. And then that fucking bow sits in that bow case until, I don't know, beginning of August, maybe end of July. You know, he might shoot it if I'm shooting. He might shoot it a couple times throughout the year. But right. He's not like us, where we're going to shoot different events with it. We're shooting on a regular basis throughout the year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll shoot with the AccuBow in the wintertime if I don't want to go outside. He doesn't do that. He takes it out and he shoots, you know, practices a little bit to make sure. He's even, like, you know, Jared practiced a lot with us over the summer.
Yeah.
But my brother, if he was going hunting with his bow, he'd go out.
Yeah, 2 weeks before
season. 2 weeks before the season, just make sure, hey, all my pins are good, whatever. He'd, you know, practice out to 30, maybe 40 yards, and then pack it up. And he'd shoot like 8 arrows. And as long as everything hits, you know, within a pie plate, he's like, yep, I'm good.
Right.
That guy, of course, he's the guy on the page going, I'm still shooting my fucking 2005 Matthews switchback, and it kills deer just fine. Yeah, buddy, it does. Absolutely, it does. And I'm not taking away from you. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm not saying that's a bad bow. Not at all. But you're not an archer. You're a bow hunter. And you might be fucking getting it done, shooting big deer every single year. Mm-hmm. I got no problem with that guy.
Right.
But don't bitch at me about buying a new bow every year, because to me, those nuanced things might make the difference. If I'm constantly changing my arrow setup, whatever, I'm chasing the best of the best.
Right, and you like the process.
And I enjoy the process, right? So I want to be able to tune my bow without a bow press. Literally the only thing I need a bow press for, if I build one of those new Matthews, or I should say when I build one of those new Matthews bows, the only thing I need a bow press for is to put the peep sight in. And I arguably don't even need that. I could use their stay a field system, and where you pull the string forward slightly and lock the cams out. They've got a separate string you install, and then it loosens the string enough to be able to put a peep sight in there, and then you just put it back. But you literally wouldn't need a bow press to work on that bow.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But, like, I really enjoy that shit. Certain people are going to be like, well, I don't need to have limb shift technology because my bow's already tuned. Or I don't need to have an integrated rest with a dovetail system because this rest works just fine. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure it does. But for people who are constantly chasing that innovation and they want to be able to make their setup as best as they can possibly make it, yeah. And then there's the other guys who I know a few of that just have fuck you money. And they're like, yeah, like I shoot a new bow every year because I can.
Right.
Why wouldn't? I mean, and I would too if I was in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or the guys at the pro shop who will shoot a new bow every year because they are basically shooting it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, if you are someone who, it's no different with rifles. It's no different with rifles. If you're someone like me who you go out and you shoot your deer rifle, like, it's a little bit different now because I like my deer rifle's an AR-10, so I can have fun with it, whatever. But, like, mm-hmm. I plan on buying a straight bolt gun or even, like, that lever action.
Yeah.
30-30. I go out. On a rare occasion, I'll take that out just on a shooting day. And, I might have some fun with it. I'll sight it in. I'll make sure it's good to go. And then I go out and I deer hunt with it, and it sits in the cabinet, you know, the rest of the year, whatever.
Yep.
Right? It's in the case, whatever. If you do that with your crossbow, if you do that with your other, your cross gun, if you do that with your cross gun or your other deer rifles, it's no different than the guys that do it with their bow,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's an interesting argument because compound archery has gotten to the point where I could not shoot my bow all year long. And 2 weeks before the season, I could go out and practice a couple times and be deadly out to 30, 40 yards all day.
Easy.
All day. So, you know, it's like, yeah, it's significantly easier. But like I said, if you chase that nuance and, you know, like you were saying, if you enjoy the process of that, then it's different. If you enjoy the process of reloading your own ammo and sighting it in and just getting a gun, not just like, oh, I can shoot a clover, at 100 yards. But, like, this gun is fucking money. Well, we got some freezing rain, it sounds like. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just a different process.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I don't need six deer rifles. Like,
no. I don't need six bows. I'll take them.
But, yeah, like, if I... Yeah, like...
I love it. I want a collection. I'm starting a mini collection.
Yeah.
If I buy a new bow, this will be my fourth bow. And it'll
You're
be...
You're not going to get rid of any of them?
No. If I buy a new bow after... Like... Okay, so I have my hunting bow and my 3D bow. And I want to buy another hunting bow. So let's say in 5 years from now, they make some crazy change in technology. Maybe they release a carbon bow and I like it way more and it's got some advancements in technology. And I go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to buy a new hunting bow now. At that point, I would get rid of the previous bow. But my first two, hunting bow and 3D bow,
right.
I don't want to get rid of because they're too sentimental.
Yeah.
My first hunting bow was just my first bow. That was the very first thing I ever bought after working at my very first job. So I was 14, my very first job. I saved every single penny until I bought that bow. And, you know, it's just super sentimental. Shot my first deer with it, whatever, right? The 3D bow was a similar thing. I wanted to get into shooting 3D events, competitions, whatever. Saved up all the money that I could. Bought the bow brand new. It was the first bow that's registered to me, has the warranty. You know, shot my first Total Archer Challenge event with that. Shot my first any event with that, like any of my 3D events, of whatever, you know, first Northwoods, whatever it is. They were all with that bow. Mm-hmm. So it's just too sentimental. But any bow after that, once I upgrade, I'll get rid of. Yeah. It's like this lift that I want to buy. If I buy a new hunting bow, you know, like 5-10 years after that, I'll sell the old one, get rid of it. You know, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd be able to have, well, it would be like two bows after that. You know, I'd use this lift for 10 years, get a new bow, whatever that bow is, use that for 10 years, and then be able to pass that on to my kid when I'm done with it, you know, because hopefully he'd be like 10 years old or so, you know, whatever, 12. I don't know.
Well, now it's 80 pounds.
No, my kid's not going to be tiny. I could have pulled 80 pounds at, maybe not at 12, but at 14, I could have pulled 80 pounds. Ooh. I was pulling 70.
Really?
So it was another 10 pounds. I could have worked up to it. Yeah.
Damn.
And I want to just note another thing. At 14 years old, I was probably about your weight, 130, maybe 140 pounds. So you just have to work though. You're pulling 70 right now. Are you not? Didn't you max your bow out?
No, it's like 65.
Okay, you could get there.
Ish. I could, yo, for sure.
Especially with 85% level.
Yeah, when I was shooting bows all the time, I mean, I shot a full 3D course, 30 target, 3D course, two arrows a target with a 75-pound longbow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, I could, like, I was there. It's just, that's when I was shooting.
You have to love it. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I was 14, when I first got that Creed, I shot that fucking bow every single day because it was summertime.
Yeah.
I shot that bow almost, I shouldn't say every day, but I bet you it was the better part of every single day until hunting season when I shot my first deer. And I was fucking dialed. I was so deadly with that bow. Better. I was a better archer at 14 than I am at almost 22.
Yep.
Yeah. Dude, you just have more time, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have the time to shoot every day. And the AccuBow only does so much because you can work the muscles, sure. You know, but that's like dry fire practice with a firearm. It'll only get you so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's some craziness.
It's going to be an exciting summer. I want to shoot 3D a bunch. That's probably a little too early to start talking about summer. We're still.
Why don't we talk about indoor 3D event or just indoor target events?
I like indoor archery. A lot of people don't because they say it's boring. You just stand there.
Okay, so if we go shoot indoor, are you going to shoot your compound or are you going to shoot recurve?
Fuck, I don't know.
Because I want to go shoot the Vegas event, not
in Vegas,
not in Vegas, but the Northwoods Vegas event.
Yeah. Well, they have their indoor league. I think it's every Sunday.
I can't get out there every Sunday.
No. Yeah, it's, it kind of sucks.
But, so if I consistently do some 3D courses with you guys, are you going to go do an IDPA course with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to shoot like garbage.
All you need is a pistol and a holster.
I need an outside the waistband though, right?
No, you can do inside. That's one of the guys, he always did inside waistband. All you need is a pistol and a holster.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go shoot it with you. I can't promise I'll be any good.
It'd be fun. I scored second to last at the first big event that I did.
Yeah, I'll go do it. How much are they?
But it was fun.
Are they expensive?
They're $20 to go, but you pay for all your own ammo.
That's not. Well, it's, yeah, that's not bad.
And no. It's usually 250 rounds per a day.
The Total Archery Challenge event is, I usually spend like
70 or something for a ticket.
It's 70 per course, but I usually end up paying for two or three. You know, so you could easily spend $250
per course.
Uh huh.
Dude, when I went, I only paid once, and I shot all the courses.
Yeah, you only went for one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go for multiple, it's 70 a day.
70 a day. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I think IDPA is cheaper for like the events, but it's, you know, a little more expensive for ammo.
Well, that's a great thing about archery. You get to reuse your ammo.
Practicing.
If you don't miss.
Sometimes.
If you don't miss,
you got to factor in all of your practice ammo. I'm not saying the gear is more expensive.
Oh, shooting is definitely more expensive than archery.
Like the gear itself, I would say, is probably comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, because a well-built AR-15,
you're gonna
let's say.
A holster, a pistol, and a red dot if you're just doing the basics. Or if you... You know, my whole first year, I just did iron sights. But
what I will say is
you got a minimum $1,000 into a setup.
Yeah.
And then all your ammo.
Yeah, but like
and
archery.
What's a bow to do a minimum setup for 3D course?
Minimum 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For something decent.
And then every course that you go to,
if you're buying brand new,
$70.
It's a little bit different because you can't buy used guns as easily, you know, for something like that.
Yeah.
Because they hold their value. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're going to buy brand new, minimum 25. But that's what I've always made the comparison to, like, if you're going to buy, I can't believe you spent $5,000 on a bow. Well, how much did you build your AR for? Because you could easily build a $5,000 AR-15.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Daniel Defense.
That's
easily.
It's adult Legos.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, pretty much. You know, do I need to spend $5,000 on a bow? No, but I could easily do it, especially with a competition bow.
Mm-hmm.
The Matthews target bows start at like $1,800.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you get a target sight on there that's, you know, fucking $800. And you get into target archery bars that start at $150. Like,
that's why all this stuff's so much fun other than, you know, prices, whether it's a bow, an AR or a target pistol. It's all adult Legos. You get to sit there and customize it exactly how you want, figure out, all right, maybe this works better. It's like you guys say, the process of it.
Yeah.
And then in my opinion, that's the funnest part.
I think we should all go in on a progressive press so we can reload a bunch of 9mm and 5.56 so we can just go have fun and stuff like that.
I would shoot twice a week. Every week if you guys wanted to reload ammo and go with me twice a week.
Hmm. We can look into it.
That's what I used to do when I was up at Tech. We would shoot twice a week.
Yep.
I'd be a hell of a lot better at shot of a pistol, you know, shooting a pistol.
Yeah, you need
the
to
other
practice.
Thing, though,
you suck.
The other thing,
I
though,
don't suck with my pistol. I do suck with a Glock 19, and I will say that with my chest. I am terrible with the Glock 19.
I will admit this as well. We always shot target rounds, so they were lighter loads, and then you go shoot, you know, just a regular buy it off the shelf from Dunham's or wherever, Sportsman's.
A lot more recoil.
There's going to be more recoil, and you're not going to be used to it, and you're going to be a shit shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably just shoot target round, or like just shoot like my normal ammo. Like I'll just load like a normal 9mm target round, but it'll be a full load,
right?
Not a specialty target load.
Yeah,
I know is more expensive because it's more powder.
It's more powder and everything, and it's going to be harder to be accurate, right? And it's going to take more time to get back on target.
Yeah, but also, I'll just buy a separate gun.
Most of the competition comes down to, all right, you were 6.11 seconds, and you were 6.18 seconds.
Yeah, but my point is, like, I would need to buy a separate pistol, because if I were to do it with, like, my carry gun, and I'm going to go shoot a bunch of light loads and then try to practice also with, like, defense round, like, you know, hot rounds, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So you got to almost have a separate
There was gun. A guy that ran a P365 for his whole first year doing comp.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then they also switched over to 320s.
Can we talk about guns?
Wheel guns and...
Can we talk about full-size handguns really quick? Because I want your suggestions on shit.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have that many suggestions.
Like, so, I don't know if I do either.
I have what I like.
I have opinions. I don't know if I have suggestions.
So my brother saw the... what is that brand called? I want to say Spiritus Systems, but that's not right. Shadow Systems.
Yeah, like the MR920. I think they're sweet.
Is that the full size is the 920, I think? Is the 920 Elite, I think, is the...
I don't remember.
Because it's a Glock 17.
I thought the 920 was a 19 size.
Maybe.
But I don't quote me.
No, this is the DR920, I think, is the 17. And then it's the MR something, rather, is the MR720 or something like that. Is
I don't know.
Anyway.
Obi's got one.
Yeah, I was looking at... He has the 19 version. I was looking at the Shadow Systems. I want a full size because I want just like a high capacity fun gun / nightstand gun, right? Like it'll full size. It's going to have a fucking RMR on it, and I'm going to put a gun light on it, and it's just going to, like, I don't ever want to try to conceal this thing. I just want it to have as many fucking rounds as possible. I don't care how heavy it is. I just want, you know, it's just going to be fun. So I was looking at the...
They make a drum for the P320. You can get 50 rounds in it.
Yeah.
You can do that for Glocks.
So there's I think it's the M17.
Glocks. No one liked Glocks.
I like Glocks.
I think it's the M... Yeah.
I have been slowly switching over because I like my 365 way more than any Glock that I've had.
I think it's the M17 from SIG. That's a 320.
Kind of, yeah.
But it just comes optics ready. And then it's either the M17 or the M18. One of them's the compact. One of them's the full size.
There's too many numbers in this shit.
For the...
It's basically a 320, but it's optics ready. And those are the... And it's flat dark earth.
Those are the military versions.
Yes.
The M18 and M17.
Yeah. So I was thinking about getting those because, well, I like FD. And that's...
Mine right now is basically the M17, I think, but just civilian version.
Yeah.
It's a full-size duty pistol.
Well, that's the other thing is I thought maybe I'll get the civilian version, quote-unquote, because I fucking hate safeties on handguns, but that's just me.
Yeah, mine has no safety, nothing. It's just, it's the biggest P320 that you can get.
So, Justin, what would you, because I'm not great at shooting a Glock 19, mm-hmm. but I have shot the full-size Glock 17,
shoot a 19 better than I did my 17. The 19 fit my hands better.
I have bigger hands,
but
though.
You have big hands. I got
so I don't shoot a 19 very well, but I will shoot a 17 well, and my dad he still has his 320. He shoots that, or I shoot the 320 and the 17 just fine. The 19 I struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
So the other,
but
thing
I can also shoot my 365 just fine. So
that I'll know. Say is with the P320, you can get small, medium, and large frames.
Yeah,
they also make a full size 365 now.
That's not what I'm not talking about. Like.
What the fuck is a full-size 365? The fuse or whatever?
They have like a 365 fuse.
I've seen that. It's not full-size.
I think it's close. It's like a 4.3-inch barrel.
No, it is close because that one also is 21+1 capacity. Mm-hmm. But it's super thin.
Yeah, and that's super what I like. Skinny. I like the 365 because it's thin and my hands are small.
So back to the P320, those that small, medium, large, that's not just like... They have the overall frame sizes, your micro, compact, carry, and full size, right? They've got all those for your frame sizes. But then the small, medium, large is the palm swell.
Oh, okay.
Unless you get the AXG, and that's the aluminum one that you put your own palm swells on. You can choose, like, they've got
goofy so that's colors different from the 226.
That, mm-hmm. that
I might want to look at the AXG then because I thought about
the
a 226.
The AXG is the P320.
Huh?
That's just a
frame. I know that, but that's P320. What I'm saying. I looked at the 226, but I want a striker fire.
Yeah.
So that's their maybe nice, I should look at the AXG.
That's their nicer frame because it's like an aluminum frame instead of plastic.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't want to skimp on this gun. This is going to be like the one.
You can super put some of nice their handgun. Classic grips on it or palm soles on it, I guess, the ones that usually come with it. Like they've got walnut ones that look really nice.
Oh,
they've
got
some other plastic ones that are tie-dyed and swirled and chip. And then they also make brass ones.
Oh, brass would be sweet because it would tarnish.
They make brass. Well, oh, no, they're all roughed up and stuff. Like they've got the cross pattern machined into them. But they're way bigger so that to fill up your hand better.
Yep.
And then they're supposed to be made out of brass because it's heavier. It's supposed to help with recoil.
That's cool. Do you have your 320 here?
I do.
You should show me that later.
But yeah, they've also got tons of other fun stuff for those guns. I like the 320 because to me it's kind of like an AR-15 in the fact that you can modify it so much.
Dude, all of the SIGs have so much, like...
A lot of those you can pull the slide off, get a new slide, so you can run with the same fire control unit, have one serial numbered gun, and shoot 9mm, 10mm, 45.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing that's really cool is, like, if you, like, Justin, if you had that fuse, I guess you'd have to look at it, but my guess would be, like, if you had that fuse, if that frame was cut back further, you could have one slide that was full length, and then you could swap it and put like your regular 365 slide on it. So you could have a full length frame, but a shorter barrel and slide.
Right.
I like about Glock too, because like my brother's Glock, he has a 17 length frame for like the hand, you know, for where your hand goes, but it's cut short to fit. Yeah, the lower. But the upper part of the frame is cut short to fit a 19 slide, but then he runs a 17 slide on it. Because it's called like the 45 or something.
I think
like
it's
that,
the Glock 45, yeah.
Or 47, something like that. But he was saying, he's like, well, I don't know why you do the shadow systems because you could just do all of that shit yourself. And I'm like, no, the difference is the shadow systems is everything you did to build your custom Glock because he's got the, you know, fucking fluted barrel and fucking threaded and upgraded trigger and all, he's got all that.
Yeah.
But the shadow systems comes that way, and it's not shit quality stuff. It's well made, you know, titanium nitride coatings on things, and like,
and you know it's gonna work.
You know it works. Like, that's the bitch of building an AR too. Is it just doesn't work? Well, if I did it, it just wouldn't work. That's why I bought one.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I could get into ARs, and I could probably figure that out, but. I don't need more expensive fucking hobbies, dude. Bows are enough.
Yeah. That's like when I got my AR, I was like, I'm just going to get like a cheap one. I got less than $1,000 into mine. It's good enough.
I got less than $3,000 into mine. It's also an AR-10, though, so it's kind of hard to, you know.
I bought
name brand, so. Yeah,
and mine's all used. So.
But I also, I didn't have to do that. I think I was a little scared after the 300 debacle, so I ended up going a little bit overkill on that. Yeah. So it's okay.
I thought about running that 300 with like a red dot on it.
Why?
I don't know. Just for shits and giggles.
It'll cycle okay. Like the action's not smooth, but it'll cycle every time.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be kind of cool because it'd be different. Run like that 300. I got those 220 grain round nose. Just like a fucking beast of a 300 Win Mag round.
You got
short range.
You got to tell
with
me.
With a red dot and just fucking.
One of the things I think before I go start reloading ammo for that 30-30, I want to buy the Hornady Revolution. Is that what it's called?
Leverution.
I want to buy that in like every weight that they make. So probably from like 150 to, I would assume, up to 200 grain.
I think they only make it in one.
Oh, really?
I think the 30-30.
A lot of times
like
when you get into reloading, they also have a book that'll tell you different loads.
I have all the Hornady books and stuff. So
no, my thing was I just wanted to see what grain bullet, like what weight, grouped the best out of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would try some reloads at different powder weights or whatever based on recommendations of that group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To get like the best of them. That was just where my head went. But if it's only one weight, then we'll just go off the book and make, you know.
Well, you try different powder weights.
Yeah.
That's where you get your groupings or whatever. You can, I mean, most of the time you can get any weight bullet to shoot You just have to figure out what combo of.
Not out of that 300, apparently.
I could.
You could get 150. Oh, that's right. It was just way too hot. That's probably what it was, dude.
It was just something with the ammo. It didn't like that ammo. Maybe it didn't like that bullet. Maybe it wanted
3,400 feet per second exit muzzle velocity out of a 300 mag.
Yeah.
That's fucking cooking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 150 grain, but. And you went to 180 and probably were shooting a little bit lighter of a loadout, yes.
I shot
that
180s
Norma,
and I shot 200s out of it.
That was Norma? Is what
the
that
stuff
what
that had,
was?
Yeah.
And
but a lot of times,
it
too,
was
like
really,
that,
really
like,
hot.
Like the factory 300 Win Mag stuff is really short, so your bullet's not hanging out there that long. So if you have like that, if I'm remembering right, I think the throat of that chamber was pretty deep. So your bullet, if you're having like a factory 300 Win Mag load,
yeah,
it's that, you know, whatever it is, it has to make a big jump before it hits the rifling.
Oh, okay.
So, if, like, for me, I take and I actually measure that. So you set it, like, 5,000s off. It's called the lands of the rifling.
Okay.
And I set it, like, 5,000s off the lands. But then where you get into trouble is, like some guns, it'll be way too long.
And you can't get the bullet to seat.
You can't get the bullet in the magazine. So if you're single feeding them, it's fine.
Yeah.
But they won't feed into your magazine. So like I had some for my that Remington 700 that I had that was 300 Win Mag.
Yeah.
The lands for that were way the fuck.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So if I loaded them, you know, 5,000s off the lands, I couldn't get them to feed into the magazine.
Interesting.
So I think that could be a potential too. I haven't looked into it a whole lot, but I just know like I use my factory or my reloads from my old gun.
Cycled just fine.
And everything was fine.
Yeah, that would be my guess. That or it was just pushing a little bit faster than it wanted to.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know what bullet are in those or whatever. And,
well,
you know,
and
some guns
like
boat
me,
tails, some guns don't like boat tails. Because
I just don't
like,
know.
Just,
well, and that was the other thing. It was only an 18-inch barrel on that gun.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's longer than that. It
might
be 20.
Maybe it's 22.
Yeah.
Or 20. It might be 20. I remember it being short. Because my buddy Ethan has a 7 millimeter Rem Mag and on his Winchester, his Model 70, the old one.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my barrel, I think his is a 24, maybe a 26. 26 probably be pretty long, I'm guessing.
That's like the longest they go usually.
So it's probably a 24 because it has
but
a
there are
breaking.
Some guns that...
I don't know. I remember my gun being like... It looked like it had an AR barrel on it comparatively.
Right.
Because it was really fucking short.
Yeah.
I remember it being very short for a bolt gun, I thought. But maybe it's 20. I don't know.
Have to measure it.
Regardless. It'd be interesting. I do think I'm going to end up with another 300. So.
300 Win Mag is just a really cool cartridge.
Well, you convinced me to not get either 300 or 30-06. I haven't decided yet.
Don't buy a 30-06.
Why? Because everyone has that. I knew it. That's why Ryan.
Good gun.
That's
it
why Ryan
gun.
Doesn't
it's
like Glock.
Because
he's like everyone's got a Glock. That's why he won't buy a Matthews. He's like everyone's got a Matthews. Everybody shoots Matthews. I'm like, yeah, dude. There's a reason why everybody likes Glock.
Yeah.
They're ugly, but they're reliable.
The 30-06 is super versatile. Like you can go down.
You can hunt deer. You can hunt moose. Doesn't matter.
Right. You can go from a 130 grain bullet up to a freaking 220, like you could do whatever you want.
I was shooting deer with a 150 grain bullet.
My
a 300 Win Mag
was when he was looking to buy a pistol. He was like, "Oh yeah, let me shoot yours. Let me shoot my buddies over here." I think my buddy had a Taurus.
Oh, I got a story for after the podcast about this.
And you know, anyways, he's like, "I really like that SIG. That was good." And they had another one at the freaking gun shop, and he bought a Glock. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Jared's not a fan of Glock, dude.
No.
Why? Because they're ugly?
They're ugly. I like my SIG. I
love SIG.
I think, honestly, if I played around with the Glock
50% of my guns are SIG.
And customized it a little bit, I would probably feel differently about it. But it's SIG are just so easy to change around and do whatever you want with.
Yeah.
And they're reliable as fuck. Not that a Glock isn't, but
yeah.
The SIG magazines are aluminum. Or, no, they're are they steel or aluminum? I think they're steel. No, they're steel because they rust. So the SIG magazines are steel. They're made in the U.S. And they're fucking reliable. Mm-hmm. Versus Glock mags polymer, made in Austria. Still reliable, but...
Very reliable.
Also kind of just like...
It's boring.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to work every time.
I don't know. I've never had a malfunction on my gun. You might have because you're shooting lighter loads, but I've never had a malfunction.
I never had a problem. My brother had problems, but that was, like I said, because he was limp resting.
I've also only probably put, like, maybe 2,000 rounds through that gun. I bet I haven't even hit 3,000 rounds through my...
Almost out of the 2,000 rounds that I reloaded.
Plus all everything you shot before that.
Plus all the stuff I put through it before that, which is probably... I think I had 1,000 rounds before that that I just bought.
So you're probably approaching... Well, the only reason I say that is because I know I've bought 250 rounds multiple times, and I've had a lot of days where I'll go shoot 200-300 rounds, which sounds like a lot of ammo. To shoot 300 rounds of 9mm in a day, that sounds like a lot. But when you actually do it, you're like, that doesn't... Yeah, no. No. I could probably shoot 1,000 rounds in a day before I was like, damn, we've shot a lot.
When I was living at home, I used to buy like almost 1,000 rounds a week.
Of 9mm?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, dude?
It was cheap. I could buy 1,000 rounds for $130.
Back when you could afford it.
Yeah, and I was lived at home, so it was like, fuck, I had tons of money. And I shot two or three times a week, and just, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I'm buying a bow, nice. Living at home.
Right.
Sorry.
Do it while you can.
Yeah.
It's rough out here on the streets.
I'll get you guys back because I'm going to buy a piece of property in a few years, and we're going to make a deer hunting sanctuary. We're just going to grow big bucks. You're not going to shoot anything fucking small.
Yeah,
you won't be
funny
allowed to hunt it.
We've got good bucks yeah. on our property, and I'm deerless this year, so.
It'd be different if you lived there, though, and you were able to hunt it all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Or if I just went out in the morning.
Or if you hunted
Or if
the morning.
I went to multiple spots instead of being stubborn and only sitting in my spot.
Well, because you shot every big deer from that spot, right?
I've only gotten like 2 big bucks. Both of them were from that spot, yes. But
is that why you're stubborn or just because it's your spot?
It's my spot.
Okay.
I grew up hunting there. I've always hunted there. I've only hunted once not from there. And I think the one time that I didn't hunt there, I got a gut shot.
Oh.
Or you didn't see shit when you hunted with me and Justin.
Yeah, or that. Yeah.
All right, fellas. We're getting a little long here. What do you say we wrap it up?
Yep.
Yep, I'm good with that.
You got anything else to add about deer season, whatever?
I'm not giving up yet. I'll go blast a doe and muzzleloader. I think some of the new rules are kind of dumb, but... We could talk about that in the next podcast after we've gone through muzzleloading.
Yeah, I've got another doe tag and both my buck tags left, so we'll see what happens.
Yep, I'm in the same boat. I think I'm gonna strap on my snowshoes now and just go walk around, see if I can chase something down.
All right, remember, guys, if you enjoy the show, feel free to follow us on Instagram, KnoxAndNature_podcast. Also. Feel free to leave us a review or rate the show, depending on where you listen. We would really appreciate it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch you in the next one.